Stand in Genesis chapter 19. Well, I was preaching, and they weren't preaching, although I'm convinced that all five of them could have. But anyway, especially the mama. But I was preaching in Somerset, New Jersey, last night. Had a wonderful time there. And got safety up there yesterday. Spent time with the church and the family. And there and the pastor. Great diverse church. And just look around the crowd and look at how different people from different places all get to serve the same God. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And then we came back down today, back home. Got back in about 3:30 in the afternoon. But we stopped through Christiana, Delaware, and went past the mall. And there I took a picture there in front of the Cheesecake Factory, right there. In the fire lane, and then I sent a picture to Pastor Mike. Said, last time I was at this spot, the ambulance was here, and said you had 290 heartbeats a minute. And 30 minutes later, he passed away on the table, and 26 half minutes later, God brought him back to life. Just thinking about the goodness of God. And I just think sometimes it's good to mark the spot. And you're going to make it. I mean, God's been good to us. He's been faithful, and I thank him for his goodness and his grace. And you look around, I'm one of these look around pastors, because you just look at the testimonies of the people. I remember when the Jones family came to Crossroads Baptist Church. And I remember sitting down at the piano with Redeen, and she said, I play the piano, and used to sing. And I remember the girls coming up to the youth group, and we certainly thank the Lord. I remember taking the teenagers over to Nassau, Bahamas, and Jamaica got saved there. She thought she was saved, got saved, and came back and sparked a revival in our youth group. Years later, now Levette's married, and Jamaica's about to get her PhD, and Rudine's singing, and Jim's the manager. Amen. And he's making a whole lot more money off of them than he was when he came, I guarantee you. And it's going up. So God's good. Amen. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Don't let the devil tell you any different. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter number 19. Behold now, verse 8. I have two daughters. Can you imagine? I have two daughters. Which have not known man, let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. Now, isn't a daddy supposed to keep men from his daughters? Not give his daughters to men? That's why you don't want to get yoked up in the world. You'll be doing things that are not only unchristian, they're unnatural for a father. They're unnatural for a mother. They're unnatural for a human being. See, abortion is not only unchristian, it's inhumane. Are you listening to me? But see, you get blinded in the world. This is just one example of how far a righteous man went. I don't want you to ever think. I was talking to the barber this afternoon, and he's talking about where he's been and what God had delivered him from. And I hope you're not one of those Christians that think that would never be me. You get yoked up with the world, you won't even know who you is. You'll be so strung out, so flung out, so lost and so clueless. Amen. The girls you used to be fussing at to tell them get in the house would be the ones you'd be offering to throw out the house. I didn't intend to say all of that, but I'm not going to apologize for it. I have two daughters which have not known men, two virgins. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. Can you imagine? Let me facilitate the loss of their purity as their father. And do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Do whatever you want to do to my daughters. but don't mess with these angels. Unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. You know, that's when you know you're caught up in the world, when hospitality means more to you than purity. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn. He will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man. Even Lot came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Let the church say amen. Our Father, I pray, God, that you will bless. I pray that you'll cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your Spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. We love you and thank you for being God. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 19 was a long time ago. But the stuff in that chapter is still happening today. It's getting worse. It's getting so much worse that it's becoming normal. That's what's happened to Christianity today. We've grown into embracers of carnality. We've grown comfortable with sin, acclimated to the world's culture, okay with foolishness, tired of fighting, weary with arguing, absolutely refusing to be the outcast. So instead, sin runs rampant and the children of God are okay with it. Don't you ever, ever think that Lot got mysteriously caught in a whirlwind? He was the subject of bad fate and there was nothing he could have done about it. Lot didn't belong there. Lot didn't have to stay there. Lot, my friend, never had to end how it ended because he was there. He was a child of God. He was a righteous man. He was near one of the greatest servants of Almighty God. And yet Abraham goes on with a wonderful story. And Lot ends with a horrible demise. That could be you. Abraham and Lot got their righteousness from the same place. Did you hear me? Every Christian gets his righteousness from the same place. If you didn't get it from Jesus, you didn't get it. Amen. Every one of us that gets saved from the same place. He's washing the same blood. Gets indwelled with the same Holy Spirit. Gets led with the same Bible. Is going to go to the same heaven. Amen. But it's possible to be righteous and the friend of the world. And here he is. And back to back, God gives us two chapters. One showing us what a friend of God looks like, and then two showing us what a friend of the world looks like. I pose the question to each of us. Which one are you? What does the friend of the world look like? Well, it looks like this: settled carnality. God sends angels there. They are task messengers at a timed moment. Lot was in a place where God wasn't comfortable going. Amen. And when you befriend the world, you're in a place where God's not comfortable going. And he went in the dark because that's the time when he had to go in there, try to get in there at nighttime because he didn't want to go in the thick of the day when everybody was doing what they did. Listen to me. When you're living for God, God doesn't have to creep up on you. You're expecting him at a normal time because he's your friend. And we look at how Abraham responded to God's arrival. The telling mode of Lot was that he sat at the gate. He wasn't just living in Sodom, he was working for him. That's the digression as a child of God. You look towards the world, you end up in the world. Next thing you know, you're working for the world. Your livelihood's from the world. We notice this turbulent mindset, these thoughtful manners of Lot. He invited them in. Yes, he did. He was very gracious with them. He was very genuine, if you would, with them when he said, come in. But if his motive was this. I don't want you to see where I live. I don't want you to be around the stuff I'm around. I'm not comfortable with you tuning in to a day in my life. So I'll rush you in. I'll get you out the streets as fast as I can. I'll play it off. Because I'm living a life that I chose to live. But I'm not comfortable with representatives of God watching in on it. Pastor, how do I know if I'm a friend of the world? I'll tell you how you know if you're a friend of the world. If you're not comfortable with God and his people hanging out with you there. Come on. I mean, if what you do in your spare time, if what you do in your habitual time, if where you go on your weekends and who you run with in your spare time, if you're not comfortable with God being there, by the way, we already find out in this passage, God wasn't comfortable showing up there, so he didn't show up, but these were messengers of God. And by the way, I'm a messenger of God. Friends of God, don't get nervous when messengers of God show up. Oh, shh, here come the pastor. That's right. Here come what's the name? Here come brother so-and-so. I mean, if you're always looking over your shoulder, you ain't doing something right. If you're always trying to get Christian people in and out as fast as you can, and I'm seeing people trying to rush me, and by the way, trying to rush me is just making me slow down on purpose. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? You got a service you need to get to? Look, Pastor, I know your time is short, so don't feel like you got to spend a lot of time. You go ahead and do what you got. Why are you pushing me out so fast? What you got going on? What you got cooking back there? Huh? What smoking device are you trying to pick back up and go back to where you were using it before it just kind of dies out and you got to use up another one? What have you been saying? Huh? What'd you have that radio on for, I got? What are you hitting the button so fast for? That's Lot. Get in here. And it looks like, oh, Lot's just being such a wonderful host. No. Lot was an embarrassed Christian. And he should have been. I said he should have been a child of God. Befriending the world ought to be embarrassed. Why? Because there was a sinful climate there. Not only settled carnality, but a sinful climate. Notice, if you would, that pressed upon him are all the people of the city. Oh, young and old, we talked about this last week. Abundant, plunged into sin, old folk and young folk. One of the most discouraging things that we're seeing in America happening right before our eyes is not necessarily new sins. It's old sins. But what's discouraging about them is they are old sins that are now being practiced by young folk. And there was a day when the stuff we see today we saw, but we didn't see it so young. Amen. I said we didn't see it so young. And nowadays, I mean, when we were coming up, if the kids said, huh, or what? Or yeah, you thought he lost his mind. Now if a kid say, huh, or what, or yeah, you go, such a well-mannered child. Which, by the way, that's not well-mannered. Years ago, we had some folks in church say, I don't really know why these people make their children say yes, ma'am, and yo, ma'am. It's crazy. Shame on shame if the secular military has higher standards than spiritual Christians. The Lord's army ought to have higher standards than the world's army. Amen. And there's still something good about yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and please and thank you. It's not about treating kids like slaves. It's treating them to respect authority and to have good manners. And by the way, it'll take them farther even in the world. But now these 3 and 4 year olds will cuss you out. I'm talking about cuss you out. I'm talking about, I'm going to slip up and oops, my bad. Excuse my French. I'm talking about put together a whole sentence in eloquent, what you call fluent profanity. Why? Because their parents cuss at them. I've been in the store looking at a woman just cussing at the child. And wanted to say, and my wife even said, honey, don't say nothing. Young and old. I'm trying to preach. But one of the things I can't stand is to go out in the world and watch a grown mama with her daughter trying to look like her, bop like her, twist like her, amen, act a fool with her. Why? Because if you're my daughter and I'm your mama, and we both engage in the same sins, then we don't just have to be mama and daughter. We can be best friends. God didn't give you kids to be best friends. God gave you kids to be their authority, to enforce righteousness in the home. They'll get friends. And by the way, when you get older, you'll be good friends. But there comes a time when they need to know you're my friend and you're not my buddy and my homie and my roll dog. And we're not going to share miniskirts. I'm your mama. I'm going to tell you some things you don't want to hear. Amen. But you'll thank me later. By the way, I see some of these dads. I see some of these grown men out there. The pants falling down, trying to be all. Come on, man. Too old for that. I can't stand seeing these old men trying to get big old. They're trying to be thugging out, hat flipped backwards and walk. Listen to me. I'm not talking about not loving anybody. There's nobody in Genesis 19 that Christians ought not to love. So I don't want you to think I'm preaching one of these hate messages. We ought to go out and hate people. I'm just simply saying you can't help people if you're not different than they are. And Lot's not only a prime example of how hypocrisy and carnality never pay off, but he's also a prime example that becoming like them never enables us to reach them. Abundant involvement, old and young. These kids spit off these songs, and they know it. And you as a parent are trying to figure out where they learned it from. Who told you that? You didn't hear that here. Where did you hear that word from? I mean, you go to a Christian school. Where'd you hear that word from? That's where you heard it from. Sometimes you hear worse words there than you hear at the public school. Here we try and keep our kids from being proselyted and ruined, sending them to Christian schools. Some of these Christian schools, I mean, good gracious, a lot. They're closer to hell than some of the public schools. And don't worry, you can quote me on that. God help us. Aggressive immorality. I mean, there's no stopping them. They're standing at the door, banging on the door. Compass the city, compass the house round about. Where are the men? Where are the men? Where are they? You know what Sodom does? It builds your appetite for sin. Write down, if you would, there's an apparent interconnection with them. What do you mean? Lot. Lot, where are they? Doesn't it appear to you and to me that these folks were not strangers to Lot? They knew him.
spotted somebody walking in his house that they weren't used to seeing walk in his house, which means they'd been over his house.
Mm-hmm. We ain't seen them before a lot. Them some new peoples. Uh-huh. They sharp dressed. We never seen them. They were used to Lot. So used to him that they knew how to spot new visitors. Amen. There was an apparent interconnection. And then notice what the Bible says. Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after them. This even further shows how Lot had some intimacy when it came to them. And I mean closeness to them. I don't mean that Lot was involved in immorality with them, but he was close with them. Now watch this now. Lot is a child of God. Look who he addresses as brethren. Sodom and Gomorrah. And watch this now. He went out to talk to his friends while God's messengers were in his house. And to protect God's messengers and to make sure they couldn't hear what he said, he shut the door after him and quietly, so the angels couldn't hear, said, "I pray you, brethren, please, please, don't do like we normally do. Not today. I got some messengers of God inside." That's the thing about having bad friends. They call at the wrong time. And you up there with the child of God standing beside you, trying to talk on the phone without giving it away to them that you're near a Christian and without giving it away to him that you're talking to a heathen. No, not at this moment. The phone's breaking up. Ain't nothing breaking up about the phone. What? And that's the easy one. The bad one is when they talk in person. "Hey, man, I've been around. It's funny." "What's up, man? You going to the party this weekend?" And you up there, "Huh, the party? What party? What party? What party? What party? Weekend party? What are you talking about? Come on, man. Come on, man. You the one sent the invitation." And remember, they pull the text out. Remember the text? This is your number right here. The pastor sitting right over here beside you. What the pastor doing? Looking at you, wait to see what you're going to say. Let's see how you get out of this one, Lot. Amen. That's why some saved people don't invite their lost friends to church. Because they come up in here and they say too much. Or you bring them here, but you carry them with you everywhere. Where you taking that boy up in the choir loft with you? I'm going to leave him down there for one of y'all nosy people to ask him about me during handshaking time. No. Where you going to come on up to the choir with me? Why? Because I know these people around here. You can't play games with God. "Lot, bring him out. Bring him." Boom, 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 boom. Lot. "Open the door. Open the door. Open the door." "Excuse me, angels. Something's going on out there. I don't know what it is. Let me go check." "Y'all can't be doing that. God's people in there." Guess what? They weren't trying to hear it. And neither will your friends. You ain't gonna kick us to the curb just because you got a little gospel duet in there singing. We're gonna play our regular music. Amen. You picked up a bad friend while you got a Christian friend in the car. And your bad friend does what he normally does. Reach up to the radio and turn on what y'all normally listen to. And you just kind of turn it up. No. Hold up, man, you turn the music off? Yeah, I thought maybe we'd just kind of talk. Talk. Since when we do, and by the way, we always talk, but we talk with the music. Man, come on, man, turn the music on. No, and then you just make a rendezvous. Oh, you know what? I gotta run to the bathroom real quick. You go stop out there and go to the bathroom and take your little friend with you. Man, I'm telling you, when we get back to the car, don't try to turn the music right now. Why? I go to church with him. That's your problem. You know you've dealt with it. Try and play both sides of the fence. It doesn't work. Because you're not capable of being all one thing all the time. What? And then notice the appalling, invitation. I got two daughters. Take them. Guys, watch this now. Anything is better than being exposed. I can't let these angels get caught up in what I'm caught up in. So take my daughters. I'm telling you, I've watched people do some of the most reckless things under the influence of sin. It was not only crazy in my mind, it was crazy in what used to be their own mind. I have two daughters. The devil will be having you offer your most valuable possessions to protect your image. Take my kids. Take my wife. Anything. I've known men that would go further than you thought they would possibly go to keep the perception of the brethren favorable. Oh, I can't let the church know that I'm like that. I'll give anything I've got before I'll let them know. What. Let me tell you something. You can give everything you got. It's still coming out. Notice the applied irony. They said, stand back. They said again, this one fellow came into sojourn. He will need to be a judge. Lot, you know, you're a judge around here. You know, you're an outsider. We need you to be a judge. You watch this now. In other words, they're saying, you've been judging us when it came to matters before. And now, after you stood and judged us, you're not going to give in to our demands. That's the problem with being a friend of the world. The longer you run with them, the more they think you owe them. Oh, no. No, we've been rolling with you for how long? Now you're going to kick us to the curb? Wow. The applied irony and the absolute ineffectiveness. No matter what he said, they came near to break the door. Listen to me. You will not slow them crazy folk down. Are you listening to me? Some of you kids trying so hard to get your feel of the world. You ain't cut out for the world. I said you ain't cut out for the world. You're too soft, and that's a compliment. I'm not calling you soft to make you feel bad. It's good you're soft. You've been softened with something called Christianity. You've been softened with something called morals. You've been softened with something called honesty. You've been softened with something called innocence. You've been softened with something called protection. You're not spoiled. No. You've just been placed in an infrastructure that's been intentionally designed by your parents who are trying to protect you even from some of the mess they found themselves in. No, my friend, nobody's trying to steal your life from you. They're trying to save your life for you. Trying to keep you from being what they were. Let me give you one more thought. Not only the sinful climate, But very quickly, just a couple things. The serious call. Now, what's the call here in verse number 3 to the friend of the world? Get out of here.
Get out of here. Pastor, what do I do if I found myself entangled, engrossed in worldliness? Then hear the voice of God. Say, where is God's voice? It's in the Word of God. Where is God's voice? It's through the man of God. Where's God's voice? It's through the people of God. It's through the Spirit of God. It's through a godly Christian, James chapter 5, this past Sunday night. Get out of there.
Notice, if you would, the Bible says, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house and shut the door. The strong pull. Whew. Thank God for the times in our lives when, even though we didn't want to, God pulled us out of trouble.
Strong pull. Don't sit up in here like you've had it all figured out.
You here because you knew it every, you knew every turn along the way. This was the way it was going to go. You knew every traffic stop. You timed every red light. You knew every time, every gas mile that you were going to burn. You had it all. No, let me tell you something. Let's be honest. Some of us are just kind of a bunch of misfits that landed in this place because of the grace of God, His divine intervention, and His keeping us not from all the bad stuff in the world only, but keeping us from ourselves. Somebody ought to thank God tonight that when you were out in the middle of the streets of the world, getting ready to make your worst decision, when you were in over your head, you got further than you thought you could go, lower than you thought you could fall, in deeper than you thought you could plunge, and the devil was about to lay his clutches on you, you'd have died right there, got buried in the streets, and would have never made the news. But God's hand reached down in your mess and snatched you out of there. Thank you, Jesus. And He's still doing it today. Sometimes he's got to bypass your wayward preferences and snatch you anyway. That's mercy. And some of you, your heart's not in church, but your head is. You better let God snatch you while your head's still here. Amen. He's snatching you. He's got somebody calling you. Somebody texting you. Somebody poking you. Get out of there. Break up. Break up. Quit. Cut off. Unfriend. Delete. Decline. Ignore. Y'all following what I'm, you picking up what I'm dropping?
Yeah, we got it.
Amen. Go ahead and step in it. Amen. God's trying to help you. Trying to pull you. Strong pull. I'm about to say I'm almost done, but I'm almost going to close. I'm not going to be done. It's a strong pull. And then there was supernatural power. Not only did he pull Lot in, but he blinded the men outside. Pulled them and then smote them with the door with blindness, both small and great, that they wearied themselves to find them. He didn't hurt them. He just smote them with blindness. What in the world was God doing? Buying Lot some time. I'm trying to get these people off your back because you're too carnal to get them off your back. Trying to get you out of here. Hey, watch it now. Lot, I tell you what your problem is. You have moved into Sodom where they have an already established culture of wickedness. And you, listen, you have lost your mind so bad, you righteous backslidden saint, that you think you're going to land in Sodom and rehabilitate Sodomites
instead of getting your behind out of there. Now, I guarantee you I'm preaching to some Christians tonight. You in there trying to make the world right. I'm not talking about testimony. I'm just talking about you can't expect unregenerate to do regenerate stuff. Oh, Leroy. He got a good heart. Underneath all of that, there's a whole lot of that you're talking about some underneath. He really loves you. I've never seen so many Christian people cover for sorriness. Yeah. I'm just telling you, the person not that bad. He got a good heart. He did though. He can't. Amen. That's why you're still with him. Because you refuse to call it what it is.
Yeah.
That's why you still go there. That's why you still act like that. That's why you still hang with them. Amen. You get tired of something, you get rid of it.
Amen.
Amen. Right. You realize that something is sickening. Amen. You'll throw it up. You hear me now? God has designed our anatomy that when our body doesn't like something bad enough, it throws it up. And God designed you spiritually that way. But there's too many Christians down there. Trying to go to church on Sunday. Hey, y'all. Good to see y'all. Come here. Sit down. Put your feet up, Jesus. We're so glad you're here. And then come Monday. Excuse me one second. He in there. I can't do this right now. I got to go to church. Just in that verse, we see hypocrisy. On one side of the door are two angels he's hosting. On the other side of the door are sodomites he's offering his daughters to. He's playing both worlds and losing at both.
Amen. That's right.
Hypocrites don't ever win at nothing. They don't win at Christianity because they're not genuine. And they don't win at worldliness because they're not genuine. Amen. Somebody said, I don't come to church because too many hypocrites there. There's hypocrites everywhere. You went to club on Friday night, there was some there. Amen. Some fakes everywhere. Well, what do I do? Well, the best place for a hypocrite to get right is in church. Amen. What do you do with a hypocrite? You hit him upside the head with an unbanned AR-14 called the Bible. AR, whatever it is. AR-57, AR. Amen. You just let him have it. Amen. That kind of Bible ain't going to hurt nobody. It's going to help somebody. 15, 16. I don't care. One kind of gun I like to shoot is called the gospel gun. Amen. Amen. Keep it loaded. Amen. That's like the Bible. It just kind of hits everybody. Amen. When you come to church. Same message. And you go out of here and say, boy, God convicted me about that. And somebody else say, I ain't even hear him say that. No. That's all right. I've been in preaching services and the preacher never said anything and I was convicted about it. I don't mean he didn't say nothing. I mean he said something, but what he said didn't have to do with what I was convicted about. Amen. Amen. That's a good thing about preaching the Bible. I hope that every time you come to Crossroads Baptist Church, I hope that Pastor Kenny's here, but I hope the real preacher shows up. That's the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I'm preaching a sermon. He's preaching all kinds of messages underneath the tones. You get hit with something and go, where did that come from? Start looking over your shoulder. Don't look over your shoulder. He's inside of you. He moved in when you got saved. Ouch. Yes. What do I do with ouch? You come up to the altar, amen, and get some Neosporin. Or surgery. Or your prescription. Amen. I'm telling you, Christians walk out here with prescriptions every time they come to church. But they leave and drive right past the pharmacy. And they don't fill it. And so they're still sick. Prescription in hand, but the medicine is still in the pharmacy. They go right back to the world and wonder why. I'm still sick, even though I've been to the doctor. Going to the doctor didn't never heal nobody. Amen. Going to the doctor is not to get healed. Going to the doctor is to find out your problem.
getting healed is doing what the doctor told you. And God's given us a Bible. And I guarantee you, he's one doctor that never misdiagnosed or misprescribed one patient. Now you give it some thought tonight. Whose friend are you? The friend of God or the friend of the world? If you even catch a hint of friendship with the world, listen to them angels. Get out of there. Get out of here. Ain't nothing for you. You're supposed to be the friend of God. Our Father, help us. Help us, help us. Help us to at least be convicted. We have to own our choices. And only you can lead us out of the mess. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.